You can follow along with a screen, or you can write these down. And I know that we all use our phones a lot, so I'm not going to tell you to put your phone down, because we all use them a lot, but we just use them rightly while we're in church, right? Amen? Okay, let's go. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to me and resting in me, you shall be saved. He's talking to the Israelites here. He said, in quietness and in trusting confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. That's a powerful scripture. I've made a way of escape for you. If you'll just follow what I'm telling you, then you can be assured that I'm going to take care of you. But they would not listen. And this scripture is not talking about the salvation of their souls or anything like that, but it was telling them how they can be saved in their problems. How to be saved from torment in the midst of a storm. And the Word of God says, I offered this to you, but you would not. He said, I tried to help you, but you keep wanting to do it on your own. I did it my way kind of thing. I want to do it how I feel. So it's really a sad indictment against God's people, the Israelites. Those were his chosen people. And he wanted them to trust him because he is a trustworthy God. He said, I will always take care of you. I will always provide for you. And you can have a calmness and quietness. You can have confidence in the middle of your situations if you choose to do so. We know that being upset, and we've all been upset many times in our life, but being upset in our life, we know that it can destroy good things. Have you noticed that? Had there been a different situation in Carl's attitude and actions towards his son, if he had taken a different, if he began to blame him and holler at him and he would got all emotional, then that would have left an impact on a young boy that needed his father to say, let's calm down. Everything's going to be okay. That's what the Heavenly Father does for us and to us. And see, if we learn to stay calm in trouble, do you know what happens? The enemy gets very confused and he doesn't know what to do with you. Because see, he's been there when you've yelled and screamed. He's been there when you've blamed everybody else. He's been there when, because he's got you mapped out. He knows exactly what will push your buttons. But what God is wanting to do, we have talked more about the soul in this last year probably than we have in our whole ministry. But it's a fact. When you turn on your radio, you turn on news, you pick up something, and people are hurt. People are angry. They're acting in crazy ways. Have you ever seen so much craziness? And the thing of it is, they can't hear anything except what their brain is telling them. And they will repeat a negative that is said out there in the world as if it's gospel. And God says, I don't want my kids to act like that. I don't want them to be like that. I have provided a way for them. I just need them to calm down a little bit. I need them, their soul. Oh, my soul, why are you so distraught? Remember that famous verse? Why are you so upset? Calm down. Put your trust in the Lord. Because I love you personally. I've got something for you. So when the enemy throws the best shot at you and you refuse to be upset, you stay calm and you stay peaceful, you have won the battle. And you're confusing your enemy. So today, I believe, and when Pastor began to minister up here earlier and begin to speak and proclaim, I believe that today is as good day as any for us to declare that we are not going to leave this building in the same mind frame, negative mind frame. If you had a negative mind frame, and that's what you tend to do all the time, today's a good decision to say, I'm not going to live there anymore. I am not going to be that person that thinks all the time the negative. Because see, when we do, and we're in the midst of a situation, and we remain calm and peaceful, the enemy begins to get confused because it's like, well, that's how they've always acted before, but this time they're comforting their son. This time they're saying it's okay. Everything's okay. It'll be all right. Just calm down. I know you didn't mean to do that. And that was Carl's first response. What is our first response? Is our first response a good one? Does it make people around us feel good to be around us? Or do we go a little bit nuts? I believe that today we're going to leave much more calmed down than what we came in. Amen? Because see, a lot of things in life happen. It just changes so fast. You can be on a good, smooth road, and the next thing you know, something that you did not expect can happen. And it can throw you almost into seizures. It throws you into confusion. It throws you into wondering, what in the world are we going to do? We panic. And God says, I want you to know that I've got it. If you'll let me, I've got it. Jesus said to us, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world, if you got negative in your life, it's not of God. But the world is very negative. The world is very crude and very rude and very mean. But that's not the mind frame that God's people are to have. That is not who we are. So whether we plan for things to happen or we don't plan for them, maybe this past week, things were going pretty good. And then all of a sudden you get a telephone call. And the plan that you had for your day totally changed. How did you act and react? It happens. It happens all the time in our lives. Be a pastor and you'll find out. But it's not just pastors. It can change in all of our life. But what we do with those changes is what makes a difference in our life personally, but it makes a difference in so many other people's life. So I believe that a strong and a powerful life is one that remains unchanged in adversity. That's not an easy thing to do. I would encourage you all to, since it's the last week and this week and maybe the week before, I've been encouraging you to go to At the Table. We talked about seasons, and it'll be up tonight, but it's so good. We are all in different seasons of our life, but we grow in those adverse times of our life. Those are our biggest growth opportunities, is when things come against us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Not that I am implying that I was any personal want, but I have learned how to be content. Paul is saying, I have learned. Why do we send our kids to school? Why do we teach them? Because they need to learn. We have to learn. Every day we should be learning. But he says, I have learned how to be content. I have learned how to be satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. That's the place God wants us to go. No matter what is going on in our life, whatever situation I'm in, he says, whatever state I'm in, not Missouri, but whatever condition of this mess that's around me, how am I acting and how am I reacting? It does matter. And God has wanted us to get to the place where our reactions are full of love and compassion and caring and wanting that other person to be okay. If somebody has to make us be okay all the time, we need to change that. We need to change it. We need to be the encourager. We need to be the uplifter. Because if we do it, God will make sure that we're encouraged and that we're uplifted. Amen? Paul's saying, whether I'm getting what I want or I don't, I know how to remain the same. And God is speaking to us so that our soulish realms can be healed, so that we can be productive in our everyday life. People want to know, they're going to want to know what you have, because when you remain the same, it's powerful. It's a witness. It's a testimony. That testified to me this morning, Carl, what you said. And I know that you don't always keep your cool. But you're learning more and more, because that would have been a good opportunity not only to have lost your cool, but also have damaged your son. We have opportunities. We get to make choices every time there's opposition. And life is full of opposition. We have spiritual exercise. I don't know about you, but I am failing miserably when it comes to natural exercise. I need it. I need to get some muscles strengthened up. I don't have them anymore. I used to. Could have beat my grandkids easily. I did get Max and Huddy down a couple, 3 years and right up here in front of the church because they didn't think I could do it. But I'm not near as wiry as I used to be. And those muscles need to be worked on. But our spiritual muscles need to be developed. We need to mature in the Word of God so that somebody isn't having to come along and change your diaper all the time. We've got to get to the place where we believe that the Word of God that was spoken was for me personally. It's for me, not for you, me to choose, change you, but for me to allow the Spirit of God to make me into what He wants to make me so that I am of use for the kingdom of God. See, the Word wants to work mightily in us. And when others see it, because we are an example, it makes a difference. If we act nuts, if you act nuts in your home, guess what? You're raising some nuts. If you fall apart at every little thing, your kids are going to be falling apart at every little thing. They're learning. They're in school. Every time when they're in your home, they're learning. What are you implanting into them? God says, I'm not going to let my children keep on acting like they don't have a God. I don't want Solid Rock to act like it doesn't have a Heavenly Father, or that they're not taught the Word of God that helps them to grow. God says, I want you to grow so that you know that we're like Paul. Oh, that I might know you in the power of your might and your resurrection. Paul had to change some things before he became powerful in God. And we have to change some things. There's more. The Word of God says that. My peace I give you. My peace, Darlene Rose's peace, is a gift from God. And I refuse to give it up because I live so long of my life not having any peace. So I'm not preaching something that I haven't experienced. I'm not talking about something that I didn't have a silver spoon in my mouth. I had to learn and walk with God and learn that He was faithful and that He loved me personally. So years ago when I didn't have any peace, I had to make a choice. And I realized that Jesus said, Darlene, you can have peace. Darlene, I'm going to will bequeath that to you. That's my will. I'm leaving it on this earth for you. I want you to be able to walk in my peace. I want you to be peaceful. I want you to cause others to want to be in your presence and find out what it is about you that's different. I want you to walk in my peace. It's a choice. We have to be hungry for the peace of God because it's a gift from Jesus Christ. See, living in chaos is overrated for sure. I enjoy peace in my life. Daryl and I have learned to do whatever we need to do to live in peace. And that's not easy. Husband and wife, do you honestly think that Daryl and I, every moment of the day, he says yes to me? No way, Jose. But I will tell you this. He honors me and he loves me. and he covers me. I'm not perfect. I don't care how many times he gets up here and says that, he knows better than that. I am not perfect. But I do believe in the fruit of the Spirit. I do believe that if you and I will walk in the fruit of the Spirit, see, it's going to make him happier, but it's going to make me much happier. When I walk in what God has given to me, and I walk in that, it changes me. Amen? Peace is more than being right. It's more than getting my way. There's a lot of people that they don't choose being a peacemaker because they'd rather fight than live in peace. But I believe that there are a group of people today sitting in this house and that are going to listen to this online are saying, you know what? I've had enough chaos in my life. That is not of God. That is from the enemy. I don't want it in my life anymore. But that's where it starts. Amen? Being calm is a sign to the devil that he is already defeated. Let's read James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Understand this, my brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth, anger, bad attitude. Sounds like he's saying, get that filth out of our life. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts so that it has the power to save your souls. Our souls are being transformed. They're being renewed by the word of God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the brethren, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I'm God. I wonder what it would be like if we cut out half of our talking. If we could start today, and we would cut down at least half of that negative stuff. How about if we just try it? How about if we just work on it? And when you find yourself being critical, hateful, change the tone. It does matter how we say things. Change the tone in your home. Change the way you address your wife. Change the way you address your husband. Change the way you address your children. Speak to them with kindness. Amen. This is good. God's saying if we will be still, it'll give him time to work in our life. Are you talking more than you're listening? When we do it on our own, we'll miss the miracle working power of God. Do you know that wonderful working power of God? There's nothing like it. There is power in the blood. There is power in his name. There is power in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to have what I have to offer. Peace is spiritual warfare. It's not just a good feeling. It's warfare that brings confusion to the enemy. I have quite a bit of scripture, so follow along here. James 3, 17, 18. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. One of the things that I did in mid-80s, I grabbed this scripture, and for some reason, it stuck. But wisdom that is from above is pure. And then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. When we ask for the true wisdom of God, he said, I'll give it to you liberally, but you have to ask for it. God, I need your wisdom. I need some help being able to get my soulish realm lined up the way that it should be. But I thank you, God, for your wisdom. And look what it says that it does here. Now, the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. It sounds to me, by the word of God, that we're to be peacemakers. We're to walk in peace. In Ephesians 6, we're not turning there, but Paul is telling us to put on the whole armor of God. You all know that scripture, right? that passage of scripture. And one part of the armor of God is the feet shod with the gospel of peace. That means whenever you walk in your house, you walk across your floor, you should have on the gospel of peace on your feet. And when we have the gospel of peace, in other words, we have to take it. You know, I want the shield. I want to hold that shield up so no fiery darts can get me. But we need to practice walking in the shoes of peace. We need to be the peacemakers in our home, because there's a lot to be said about being a peacemaker. But one part of this is the armor, shoes of the peace, but we have to put them on. And then interesting that the whole armor of God, it says put on the armor of God. And then it begins to go through and tell us what the armor of God is. But one of those is the armor of peace. There are people that are in this congregation today, or you know someone, maybe in your family, maybe they're the neighbor, I don't know. But there are people that live in crisis to crisis. If they didn't have their crises, they wouldn't know how to function. And when you see them, it's crisis. But God is saying, I know how to turn your life from crisis to a life of peace. And I don't want us to be like the Israelites, where he said, I offered it, but you chose not to have it. God wants us to choose his peace. We do spiritual warfare. I believe that we have to learn to tell ourselves, calm down. You may have to say it under your breath. Calm down, Pastor. We got to do spiritual warfare. If we're to walk in victory, we have to not be ruled by our emotions. Our emotions are is in our soulish realm, and we react in the negative or the positive. It's just according what we have built up and what we do. God wants our souls to be prospered. And we have to learn to wait. One of the things that we have trouble with is we pray, and we're wanting God to do things today. The Israelites got very, very upset and anxious because they would ask of God and God would do something, but then something else would happen and they would get mad and they would blame God for what happened, and they wouldn't walk in the knowledge that God loved them so much, that he took care of them, not just on a day-by-day basis. He carried them step by step. He was with them. Peace was with them at all time. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. We have a call today. Are we going to answer the call? It's a call. We are called. We are chosen to walk in peace. We are chosen to be the peacemakers in our home. Daryl can't be the only peacemaker there. I have to walk in peace. We both have to walk in peace. We have to be quick to say, I'm sorry. I'm working on me. We have to be quick to do so. Because when we do that, that is spiritual warfare. And we walk in the wisdom of God. Have you ever, I love the what Carl did, but here's the other side. And I don't know if Carl's ever done this or not, but have you ever been upset with your child and you told them not to do something, or they knew not to, but they went and did it anyway? And they should have known better. And so many times as parents, we discipline them doing something that we don't like in a very harsh manner. And we say things that really aren't true. We have to learn to deal with our children with wisdom. It's not wise to discipline your child while you're angry. It just is not. That is not a good thing at all. We'll give them punishment and then wonder later, what was I thinking? I don't know if any of you have ever said, you know what? You're going to be home for the next 30 days. You're not going out of this house. Well, that child is 8 years old and they're not going out. You're not going out for a month. You're grounded. Guess who gets to stay home with that child? Or you're going to have to explain why you lied to them. One or the other. So God is saying to us, church, let's calm down. Let's walk his walk instead of our walk. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. So he chased after the people of Israel who had left with fists raised defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers, and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near by Hathroth, across from Baal Zephon, close enough. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, looked up and panicked. Pharaoh started. The devil is always going to approach again. He's going to. You've had issues with him in the past, haven't you? He's going to show up again. He's going to show up again. The people of Israel looked and they panicked. They saw then the Egyptians overtaking them. So they cried out to the Lord again. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Now, how many of you could have wrote your own scripture right there? You wrote it, okay. Why did you do that to me? Why did you treat me that way? On and on we go. Okay, let's go on. Didn't we tell you this would happen when we were still in Egypt? And we told you, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. Those people forgot how bad they wanted out, didn't they? Isn't that something? Well, it just sounds like, yeah. Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptian. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, let me remind you that the enemy that you see today, you're going to look around and eventually you're going to see that, not see that same enemy again. Because that's the word of God. Fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And those who have come against you, those who have spoken against you, those who have tormented you, you will look around and you will see them no more. That's the word of the Lord. But if we keep trying, to see that God is not at work, and we keep trying in our own flesh and complaining, we will never get the good of what God has for us. Do you know that only Daryl Rhodes and I could have destroyed us, ourselves? Only us. We could have destroyed our marriage. We could have destroyed the ministry. We could have. But the word of God in us is what has been the difference. Not just having the word of God, knowing the word of God, but acting on and walking out the word of God. The Israelites, they had left the bondage. They were being pursued. We know that. They were a people that went from one situation to the other. Kind of seems like that, doesn't it? Around, you listen to what's going on in our political realm, what's going on, you know, sometimes we forget that there's a mighty revival going on, but there are. Gen Z, they're having a time. I just want to give you a good word and tell you that there is revival in the land and around the world. So don't be too discouraged. We need to hook up with that and not all of the problems. The only way we can do that and see that is when we quit worrying about drowning. because he said that he wouldn't do that. They had that army chasing them and the Red Sea in front of them. It was a situation. It was difficult. And the way that they saw it, there was no out. You know what? God does his best things when there's no way out. He does his best work when we don't know what to do. He does. But if we don't get in agreement with him, then things can go in a different situation. I felt boxed in from all sides. I've been to the place where I thought that it was all over, and so have you. Verse 11, their first emotion was a normal one. It was fear. We've all been there. That's a normal feeling to have. But then the second emotion let's be angry at Moses. Let's be angry at someone. They needed to learn to trust God for themselves. They never learned to take responsibility. Let's just blame Moses. You know, he's our leader. Let's get mad at him. Let's get mad at the dad at the house. Let's get mad at mom. Let's get mad at my siblings. Let's get mad at the neighbors. Those are ungodly neighbors. Why in the world is my house next to them? Well, let God do what he needs to do in you, and maybe, just maybe, you might be the very one, by the way you act to their meanness, that changes their whole life. See, we're here for a purpose, not just for ourselves. Verse 12, they were always complaining, always negative. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine, Pastor, listening to the Egyptian songs, the Israelite songs they sung all the time about sorrow and pain? And you know, they complained. They complained. What's your conversations during the day? Do you uplift more than you complain? You should be 95% uplift and 5% negative if you have to be negative. That's the goal, right? Because we're never going to be 100%, but we can have goals to be better. Verses 13, 14. We have to learn to get still so we can see the salvation of God. As long as I'm talking, he can't talk. We got to hold our peace. When they got still, God began to speak. God will give us direction when we begin to be still and we wait on him. Verse 16 that we just read, it doesn't mean that we do nothing. We should be doing our work in the spiritual realm. We need to be doing a lot of weightlifting in our prayer life. We need to be doing some weightlifting in the Word of God. And we need to be able, training our mouth to say what the Word of God says. And that's not being passive when we wait upon the Lord. It means that we're expecting God to do something. It means that today's a good day for God to change my life around. Today's a good day where that thing that's been tormenting me is gone. That thing that I have wrestled with, today could be my day. But first of all, it starts with a change. I'm not being passive with what God is doing. I'm expecting God to give me a breakthrough. How about you? Are you expecting God to bring you a breakthrough in your life? God has promised us that even though it doesn't seem good today, even though it seems like the enemy is going to overtake us and the enemy is going to cause us to drown, God says, I'll take it and I will work it together for the good of those that love me and are called to my purpose. The Israelites were called for God's purpose, but they always were forgetting who they were. So it doesn't matter what God is speaking to your heart about today. He wants you to allow him to come in that place that only he can come. He wants us to expect. Biblical waiting. I ministered a few weeks ago on, you know, how we get so impatient because we know God's put something in our heart. We know we're called. We know that God's made some promises. We know that vacation's coming up pretty soon I just threw that in there because we can wait for vacation easier than we can wait for God sometimes, you know. But whatever it is that you're waiting on, there's nothing like knowing that if we'll wait and be still, that biblical waiting will cause good fruit to come forth in our life. It will produce for us. Isaiah 30:18. before I read this, but you know what? If we could get up every day of our life saying, I wonder what good things God's going to do today. I wonder what God is up to today. You know, maybe some people here, and I know this is something back when, years and years ago, when we would put up scriptures. We'd put them on our mirrors. We'd put up scriptures, you know, about what God thinks about us. But maybe some of us in this building today need to go back to that. Write out a scripture that defines who you are, who you want to be. I want to be a peacemaker today. I want to walk in peace in my home. Put that up somewhere. It can be something just simple, but we need to do that, because waiting upon God, even when we know that we don't have things perfected, but when we give them to God, He will perfect them. He will perfect that which He's blessed us with. Isaiah 30:18, but the Lord still waits for you to come to Him so He can show you His love, so He can show you His compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for Him to help them. Blessed are you and I when we wait on Him, knowing that today could be my day. Today could be the time where my marriage is totally made whole. Today could be the day where that thing which I have been wrestling with in my physical body, today it's gone. Today could be that day when you get a call from a loved one that you haven't heard from for a long, long time. Today could be the day. We need to get up and get in line with the Word of God and be patient, because God is waiting to do good for those who are expecting Him to do good. I expect, because I've seen the goodness of God all my life. I've seen His goodness, whether I was in a bad season or a good season of my life. I see His goodness, and that goodness is what I want to walk in. But see, His goodness is peace. His goodness is mercy. His goodness is kindness to others. I want to walk in what He has to offer me to walk in. We need to pray expectant prayers. I still, even though I've been in full-time ministry for over 49 years, and I was raised PK, so I guess it's all my life. But there are times that even though I have to talk to myself, I have to say out loud what the Word of God says. I have to sing out loud the songs of Zion. I have to sing those songs out. I want the enemy to know that God has shown up in me. God is in me. And so I say what the Word of God says. We have made commitments in our life, and God wants us to stick with those commitments that we've made. The worship team is getting ready to come. I'm just about ready to finish here. As quietly as you can come, come on up. Expectant. We can live in excitement and not depression. Do you know that? We can get up. I mean, I had many, many days in the midst of terrible, terrible situations where I would get up and the pit in my stomach was so big, so real. But I also had got to the place where I had grown, because I'd been through a lot in my life. But I got to the place when that pit was there, because see, there's things that have happened that are natural in our physical bodies, in our mind. And I could wake up and have that sick feeling because of things that were happening. But yet, I would say, God, I thank You that You're working this out for me. Because it doesn't matter where you're at right at the moment today. You may think, you know, nobody can fix us. Nobody can fix this. Oh, yes, He knows how to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I almost preached on that today. But He really can. He can put Humpty Dumpty back together again All the king's horses and all the king's men cannot do it, but Almighty God knows how. And he does it to those that'll say, I've made a mess of my life. Our life is a mess, but I know that you know how to fix what no one else can do. I know that you can. Paul says, the Apostle Paul, which we all love him. Thank God he's in the Word of God. But he said, I think myself happy. Imagine that. I think myself happy. Beaten. In jail. Talked about. Persecuted. But Paul understands. Do we understand? I think myself happy. I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose because I want to have passion of life. Jesus came to give me life, and he came to give it to me more abundant. What does abundant life look like? We need to find out. What is abundant life? He can't give me abundant life. As much as he does for me, loves me, understands me, he can't make my life abundant. Only he can. But he said that I could have it. And I don't want his gifts that he offered to me. I don't want him saying Darlene would not. She chose not to. She would not. So I have to think myself happy. I made choices. Some of you need to make some choices and stick to your marriage. You made commitments to that. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. It isn't. But if you meant it on the day you were married, you should mean it today. Be faithful in life. When we lose our focus, it causes us to wonder. The Israelites, they lost their focus on the miracles of God and who God was. They'd seen his faithfulness, but they lost their focus. And they began to see what they didn't have. If what you see is what you don't have, then it's time that you realize that this is where your focus is to be. Because of him, you have everything. And because of him, he can change my priorities. My goals can change because I do not want to lose my focus and start wondering. The things that used to excite us and make us love life, have we let them become old hat? Have we got so take things for granted? How about the presence of God? Do we understand that he wants to be in our services every time, just like he showed up this morning? But he also wants to at night, during the night. I am having the best time of my life. At nighttime, I'll get up and I'll begin to sing the praise. I'll begin to say all that thing that was supposed to drown me. God's going to use it against my enemies, and he's going to cause my enemies to be drowned. When we begin to change our actions under the direction of the Holy Spirit, it's going to change our lives. Literally going to change our lives. Literally. Psalm 25, 1 and 2. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. O my God, I trust, I lean on you, rely on you. I am confident in you. Let me not be put to shame, or my hope in you be disappointed. let not my enemies triumph over me. Number one, I'm going to bring my life. I'm going to bring the life that Jesus said I could have. For you, O Lord, do I bring my life. I give my life to you fresh and new today. I declare and decree that today I am going to serve the living God the way that He wants me to. I'm going to lay down those things that just keep easily besetting me. I'm going to quit blaming God. I'm going to quit blaming other people. I'm not going to blame my son, my daughter, my sister, my neighbor that is out of control. I'm not going to blame my wife. I'm not going to blame my husband. But I'm going to keep my eyes upon you, O God. Wait, hopefully, not with a negative attitude, but hopefully. I believe that today we're going to move to the sweeter part of life. We're going to go to the positive side of life. We're going to begin to see. I tell you what, if you will make this, if you will start complimenting those around you, saying good things about that, let those children, build them up, say good things to them. Let them know how much you love them. Be kind to them. Be kind to your coworkers. Build them up, saying things that is exalting God. Things that He would want you to bring to their lives that they need. Start building up that sister or brother. And that one family member that irritates you most, quit looking for their faults and start seeing the good of God in them. You start saying good things about someone and pretty soon you'll see it. Stop the negative talking. And let's let God do what He wants to do. Amen. You may be waiting for peace. God wants you to be the peacemaker. Isn't that something? God, I thought you'd make my husband a peacemaker. Well, he should be a peacemaker, but maybe God's wanting you, O woman of God, to be a peacemaker. Quit flying around like an angel and come down to earth and say things that edify and build up your mate. God is the God of breakthrough. We all believe in seed time and harvest, right? Everybody in this building does. We know that the seeds that we sow, whether they're financial or whether they're kindness and, you know, because it begets. Everything begets. It does. And so we do that. And 2 Timothy 4 and 5 says this, as for you, be calm and cool, steady, accept, and suffer unflinching ever hardship. Oh my goodness, why did he put that in there? They're messing that whole scripture up. And you believe that? Be calm, be cool, be steady, accept, and suffer unflinching every hardship. Oh my goodness. That wasn't for us. That's, you know, just Timothy talking to an immature church. Oh, really now? Interesting. See, sometimes we do suffer unfairly. That's life. We do suffer unfairly sometimes. That's the way it goes. But can we suffer hardships unflinchingly? That's what God wants today. We are to show people by our actions. Some people will never take instructions. They won't. They won't hear you. They can't. They won't. So you show them by your actions. God is saying, for you, be calm and be cool. See, Pastor Daryl and I have learned that if we want the anointing in our life, we have to walk in peace. We have to. Jesus illustrated in Mark to stay calm in the storm. And he spoke authority over it. Do you know you can't speak authority over a storm if you're yelling at your kid? Because all they'll hear is the yell. And they'll hear the tone But when you can speak and then pray with them after they have, you've told them what their punishment is, then you pray with them and you let them know you love them so much, because that's how God does for us. Two more scriptures. John 14:27. My peace I leave you, my own peace I now give you and bequeath to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Our soulish realms, how many has had troubled souls because of life and life situation? Some of you may have troubled souls today. That's a real possibility. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. John 16:33. These are in the New Testament in case you don't like the story of the Israelites. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Why would Jesus say that to the church? If it's impossible, and Sister Darlene, you're preaching things that it's not possible. That's not true. It is possible because he declared it. He said it. He repeated it. In the world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have distress and frustration. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. Do you believe that he's overcome the world? Do you believe that he has made peace for us? He said, I have deprived it of the power to harm you and to have conquered it for you. He did it all. He did it all. See, our peace is very valuable. Our peace is very important. Our peace. And there are a lot of things that will steal our peace. But you got to ask yourself, what's stealing my peace? What is it? Because see, here's the thing. It's not that husband and it's not that wife. They can contribute, but you don't have to take that. And when I said you don't have to take that, you get between you and God and say, God, I still have that pit in my stomach, but I still trust you. I know you've got a good end to this. Amen. There's an old song that I want to sing. You can stand on your feet, but this is the message that I give to you guys.